abides in the Lord. That's what he's saying. Abide in me.
You are welcome to Living Springtime from Amazing Love Assembly, Enugu, with Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu ministering.
And our study says, knowing whose you are. Knowing whose you are. I like to say that our text is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, knowing whose you are. Knowing whose you are. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, from verse 1. Knowing whose you are.
And
it's important in this world that when you get to knowing whom you belong to, it will help you. The reason why some people in the fraternity, they look invincible when they are talking to you, they look like they have extra power, is that they believe they know their connection. When you see people who are involved in paramilitary or in the military, there's a certain confidence that oozes out of their lips because they believe they are government property. When you know whose you are, it will help. And if you don't know whose you are, you cannot conquer your environment. You will not be able to do the will of God in your situation. You cannot face challenges of life because you don't know where your source is coming from. When you know whose you are, like Jesus knew, David knew, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew. And as we are going to see in our text, Paul knew whose he was. When you know whose you are, and of course to know whose you are, you must know certain things. It's Bible study and we are going to go into that. But if you don't know whose you are, you'll be beaten about the bush of life, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You'll be looking for stability and looking for comfort and for strength, looking for what will make you, but nothing can make you until you know whose you are. I assure you, when you meet people who believe that they belong to the money brokers, power beings, when they are talking to you, you see them talking a lot of power, authority. What can you do? How much is that? What is that? They believe that they know those who have the wherewithals. But these things are ephemeral and they change. And when you come to terms to know whose you are truly, and I believe very sincerely that as many people that have changed this world, they have known who they were. The Bible says that they were seeing him that was invincible. If you don't know whose you are, I put it in Igbo. Ibunkonye. Ibunkonye. Whose are you? Who will ask after your body when you die? Is it Umunna? Is it your community? Or will it be the angelic host of heaven? Whose are you? Onye ozu de nenegwu onu. Whose are you? Ozu a de nenegwu onu kedu onye nwe ibu nke onye. Whose are you? Some of us, we belong to little clubs. We belong to little things. But for you to change yourself, for you to dominate rightly your system, for you to be able to possess your possession, for you to be able to move and conquer mountain, you need to know whose you are. And when you don't know it, you'll be drifting in the ocean of time and hoping to hit one luck or one success here. But when you know that you belong to somebody, And the character of that person you belong to has integrity. When you move, the earth underneath you will be shaking. Because you know whose you are. Hallelujah. I like to read our text. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. From verse 1. It may look long, but we need to read it so that we can have a composite picture of what we are reading.
And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy.
The background of this story is the life of the Apostle Paul that you know so well. He had been in prison for the sake of the gospel. And now he has been standing trial. And the trial had come to the extent that he had appealed to Caesar, which was the highest authority in the land, to hear his case. Talking about those in prison, and the Bible specifically referring to those who are in prison on account of the gospel. And so here they were, this prisoner had told Agrippa that he wishes that they were like him. When Agrippa said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. He said, I wish you were like myself, apart from these chains. Now this man, Paul, was now going to Rome, where he made an appeal. It's like the final Supreme Court of appeal to hear his case, why he was a Christian, why he was preaching Jesus Christ in the midst of a world that was preaching all manner of gods, the God of money, the God of connection, the God of position, the God of this. Paul said, the only one that was worthy of honor was Jesus Christ. And he's standing trial. And it is this journey to Rome that we are reading part of here. We start again from verse 1.
And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy.
And decided to sail for Italy. I'd like you to know that the Italy then in the Bible is the same Italy today. The same place. Carry on.
And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment.
I like to tell you what they mean by the Augustan cohort. That is, if you like, the presidential bodyguard. In other words, those who were to go with him on this journey were not, with all due regard, the other forces or those that are involved in maintaining civil duties, but the crack unit. So the idea that he escaped on road when they were going, the motor had a flat tire and Paul escaped. That kind of story, you will never hear it. You remember what happened to Herod? When the angel released Peter, what were we told happened to those who were guarding them? They were all executed. As, you see, the justice then is not something you hope to bribe your way. There was nothing like bribing your way. There was nothing that you see the person. You are just wasting your time. And so they committed this man who was a prisoner of the gospel to the hand of a crack unit. That no matter how he wanted it, whether it was angels coming for him, they would know that they met people. That was the kind of pain that they put into this man's hand to take him to Italy. So that this prisoner was a very important person. It reminds me of Öcalan, the guy, the Turkish leader, that when I think of Öcalan and how he was picked up. The only thing I don't like about that story is that it happened in African continent. But anyway, how the Mossad and the CIA with the Turkish intelligence were able to pick him up. Very interesting scenario. And before the guy knew it, he was inside a ship back to Turkey, captured a man who was commanding troops of more than 23,000 and had fought for many years, was now blindfolded. And what a pitiful sight. But you see, this was a crack unit more formidable than Mossad. A crack unit more formidable than MI5. A crack unit more formidable than FBI.
more than KGB, more than, let's keep mentioning those of other countries. I think it's safer that way. It was a crack unit that took this man going to where they were going.
So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coasts of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us.
Now, these things you're hearing are the way they are today. Macedonia, you can see it on the tail end, backing into the Adriatic Sea, right there with Yugoslavia, upper there is Croatia, down this way you have Albania, towards this way you have Romania, you have Hungary, and as you move further you get into Russia, into this way is Italy, and back on. If you just look at your map, you'll be able to see where they are talking about. Carry on.
Verse 3. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. Verse 5. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board.
He now put a ship of Alexandria sailing to where? And put them on board. What are some of the ships that call at either Port Harcourt or Calabar or Lagos Wharf or any of them that you know? Some of our own ships. Anybody familiar with some of the ships? Because these are some of the names of ships. Yes? USS what? Hello? Eh? MV. MV Contagora. MV what? Sorry? NNS Aradu. And there are other ones. NNS what? Anansa. Okay. What is this guy? Which other one? Any other one that is very popular and familiar? NNS Nigeria. Great. So this one is not NNS. Call the name again, because sometimes you're reading this thing, many people don't wonder to read them because they feel it's not practical. It is. Please, can you read it again?
Verse 6. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmon. Verse 8. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Verse 9. Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, verse 10. Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul.
Now notice that you had Paul on board and they were going. Paul woke up and raised his hand and said, "Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be injurious." Whom did the man pay attention to? Was he wrong? No. Who was Paul? A prisoner. For doing what? For preaching the gospel. Whom was he now advising? A centurion, no. And about what? About the sheep. What does he know about sheep? Next to nothing, they will think. We are talking about knowing whose you are. When you know whose you are, whether it is in the air, in the land, or in the sea, the Lord is our Savior. Hallelujah. When you know whose you are, Jesus is in charge, no matter where you are. Carry on, please.
Verse 12. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening towards the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete, verse 14. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose called Euroclydon, verse 15. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. Verse 17. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the citrus sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. Verse 19. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we'll be saved was finally given up.
All hope of being saved was what? By whom? Who was, what did Paul tell them? The journey will be what? But they will arrive, isn't it? I don't know what God may have told you about the Christian journey. He told you that there are thorns and there are crosses on the way, but we shall land at the final shore of our destination. It doesn't matter what is in between, we shall get there in Jesus' name. Carry on.
Verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Verse 23. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong.
An angel of who? To whom what happened?
I belong.
And I'm asking you the question, knowing whose you are, where do you belong? If you were to give up today, who will ask for your corpse? The angels. We are told that Satan contested for the body of Moses. Knowing whose you are is important. If you don't know whose you are, if you don't really know whether you belong to God or whether you belong to the devil, because there are only two persons that you can belong to. Either you belong to God or you belong to Lucifer. There is no middle ground. If you don't know whose you are, you can't face the challenges of life. You can't confront any issues. You will always be a compromiser. You will not be able to stand for God in your office, in school, in market, in church, wherever you are. We'll be looking for the middle line. There is nothing you can stand for. There is nothing you can live for. There is nothing you can fight for, because you don't know whose you are. And you are not sure who will come to your aid. But when you know whose you are, you can be able to look the devil straight on the face and say what the Apostle Paul said here. In the midst of thunderstorm, in the midst of a shipwreck, in the midst of despondency, in the midst of hunger, starvation, moonlight, he was able to say, the angel of the Lord whose I am. You must answer that question sooner than later. Knowing whose you are is important. Part of the crisis of life is that you don't know whom to refer your issues to, because you are not sure you belong to God. If you knew that you belong to God, and somebody is challenging you in the office, I want to ask you, what will you do? Somebody is challenging you in the office and say that your promotion will never come. As long as I'm in this office, you will never have your promotion. What has that person said by another means? Sorry? That he wants to leave the office. That's right. Somebody says to you, as long as I'm in this office, you will never be promoted. What has that person said, actually? That he's ready to leave the office. When you know whose you are, if you know, and you hear somebody saying that, you say, Uncle, please don't say that. I don't want you to lose your job. And say, please don't say that. Don't lose your job on my account. Hallelujah. Because you will lose your job. When you know whose you are, when you know who is at your back, When you are sure, I know I'm a moonin nefe. I know whose I am. And when knowing whose you are gives you confidence, it gives you courage in prayer, you can possess your possession. You are not frightened by landlords or landladies. You are not intimidated by any temporal powers. You are not. You know whose you are. And you know that the power belongeth to God, not to man. Once I have heard, twice has it been said, that all power belongs to who? To God. So when you know whose you are, and then the doctor has given you a report, very beautiful people, and the report says, according to what we are saying now, you have only a short span of 6 months to live, and you know that your life is not in the hands of anybody, but in the hands of God, what will you do? You will know that 6 months is not for you, it's not for me, not for my boys. I cancel the 6 months in the name of Jesus Christ. It shall not stand, because you know whose you are. But when you don't know whose you are, any report, you are shaking. Anything, you don't know where you belong. Compromise is the name, another name for you. Anything that obeys the wind, you are just drifting. Let's take that verse again.
For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I...
Listen, this very night, while they were there sleeping, somebody was standing by the Apostle Paul. And what did Jesus promise us in Matthew 28? What did he say? I will be with you until the end of the age. Hallelujah. As I'm standing here now, I am aware of something. Deeply, when I move, I'm aware of that. That the angels of the Lord are round about me. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. The angel of the Lord run about those who fear him. And to do what? To deliver them. I have the best security operatives guarding me, guarding my house, guarding my anything 24 hours. Try me if you like. You know that God is on our side 24 hours in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you know who you are. You release a bomb or mamba. That is if I were in good mood. Otherwise, it will return back to you. Hallelujah. You see, when you know who you are, it's not the devil that has the power. It is Jesus that has the power.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to go to the enemy. I need you to give me this so that nobody can harm me. I need you to give me this so that nobody can do this to me. When you know who you are, you will know that there is no weapon of the enemy fashioned against you that shall prosper. And of every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, he shall be confuted, because you belong to the King of Kings. When you know who you are not going to waste time with the lower elements. Please say that verse again.
For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong.
This is where I belong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I wonder who is standing by you. The angel of the Lord whose I am and whom I belong to. And we're asking you, knowing whose you are. Please take it again.
Verse 23. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Verse 25. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.
What were they facing here? Storm and another thing? Shipwreck, isn't it? And God told him, my friend Paul, tell these people who are sailing with you on this journey that nothing will happen to them. Hallelujah. You will get to your destination. And here the aircraft was doing like, I have been in aircraft, are very frightening. I remember one of our SIM planes, one of the days I will never forget. We came in from Lagos and we are trying to get into Port Harcourt approach, and suddenly at that height, our plane, a 10-seater aircraft, lost compression. That day, if there was ever prayers, we met them. As this thing was going, the stomach, I don't know why it does that. I need to inquire from the doctors later on. But as the thing was descending, the stomach was, something was happening to my stomach. And then The principal of the school I went to was inside the place. The seminary I attended to in Igbaja. And others were there, and it was in Jesus. Three Americans, two Nigerians, and the pilot Mark, and it was something else that day. Lord Jesus, and underneath were these fires that they have, what do they call it? The gas that were flaying, burning. As I looked out, I saw that underneath were fire. I said, I had no plans of going to hell, let alone going to hell in an aircraft. That would be terrible, you know. Going to hell ordinarily is bad enough. Then flying to hell is terrible. And so as this thing was happening, somebody, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden he said, oh, praise the Lord, thank God, and the thing stabilized. We landed safely at Port Harcourt Airport, went for our board meeting at Aba. I wouldn't say I regret when we sold our aircraft. I think it was a very big relief. The fear of that day, as I'm telling this story, I'm just thinking maybe it's about to happen. But it happened. If you have never been on aircraft and had a near miss, you will never be able to appreciate or understand. Anytime you travel, whether on road or on bicycle, and you have safe journey, you will thank God. So here this man was facing a shipwreck. And God told him, you will be safe. Nothing will happen to you and those traveling with you. There may be loss of one or two things, but you will get there. Nobody else believed it, but this man said, I believe it because I know whose I am. And I know that God whom I'm serving, it shall be even as he has promised me. Hallelujah. Take it again, brother.
For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Verse 25. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.
You see, knowing whose you are gives you confidence. In the midst of tumultuous life journey, you are not afraid. It doesn't mean that there are no fearful things you will meet, but you know where you belong. I'd like to call your attention to another scripture, and then I'll pause if you have questions or contribution. In John chapter 19, we read something very interesting. John chapter 19. For reason of time, we shall start from verse 9. John's Gospel chapter 19 from verse 9.
Verse 9, John chapter 19. And went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Verse 10. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?
Do you not know that I have the power to release you? I'm asking you a question and you are not interested in answering me. Do you know whom I am? See my picture. This is my ID. I'm asking you a question because I want to help you. Let's see what Jesus answered him. Because Jesus knew whom he was and who he was.
Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Verse 11. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin.
Listen, Pilate, you have no power over me because I know I belong to the man above, and unless he gives you permission over me, there is nothing you can do to me. Hallelujah. How about that for an answer? Hallelujah. Somebody says, do you know me? I say, who are you? I remember a story I read about Shambach. Shambach was traveling in a express train. Let me take it from Enugu to Lagos. And as he was in that train, he had somebody in the train who was full of himself. He told Shambach, do you know, I am one of the estate people who own houses. I am one of those engineers that construct bridges. I own the airline that is now presently flying most part of the country. I'm involved in oil exploration. He was just telling Shambach. Chambak is a preacher man, whom he was. And they were talking as their train reached Benin. They kept on, he was talking about so many things, how he traveled to Japan, how he has been to Tokyo, and how he has been to many places. And Chambak was listening. Then they got to Ure. And he was still talking, and then they went out and ate. And after eating, the man wanted to talk some more. He wanted to tell Chambak how he has been into ECOWAS business, has been into Ghana. Chambak said to him, "Shut up, my son, my friend. You've been telling me whom you are, and you don't care to know whom you are talking to." Hey, the man was shocked. He said, "That's right. Who are you, sir?" He said, "This train we are traveling now, my father owns this train." And the man said, I see. I beg your pardon. He said, "Yes, this road, the rail line, my father was the engineer that constructed it. The beautiful land you saw, he owns all the CFO in Lagos." Hi. The man got a little bit startled. He told him, "Do you see some of those aircraft flying overhead? He was the engineer that designed all the material they used in making it." As they were approaching Lagos, the man told him, "Excuse me, sir. Can you introduce me? Do me one favor." He said, "Yes. Can you introduce me to this your father so that if he has business, at least I can know how to improve my business?" And Chambak said unto him, "Yes, I will. Kneel down. When you get connected to Jesus, then you have to learn how to hold things in this world." Hallelujah. When you know who you are, some of us would have been intimidated. When he told you that he's this and that, hey, you can say, "Okay, sir, hey, I used to do that, sir. Hey, how are you, sir?" Rubbish. Listen, the earth is a lot and the fullness thereof. And even the people that were therein, when you know who you are, and when you know you belong to the King of Kings, then you will know that he said, "Ask of me of the nations, I shall give them to you as an inheritance." Hallelujah. When you know the Almighty Living God is on your side, the God of heaven is your Father. I don't know why you go like a pauper. God is on your side. The Living God. He said, "I own the cattle on a thousand hills." Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. He will do it at the appropriate time. Can somebody say amen to that? Hallelujah. God. Knowing whose you are, when you know it, knowing it, it will encourage you. I'm going to say, "Do you know, I am here, I don't know anybody in this place, I'm just new in this school." You need to laugh. You are new. "Oh no, my father owns everywhere, and he knows how to raise the poor from the dunghill and make him to sit on table with princess. Wherever I am is God's world, and in God's world, God is in charge, and I am his child. Wherever I am, he will protect me. They that dwell under the shelter of the Most High, they shall say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will make sure that even 10,000 on your right hand, another 1,000 on your left, he shall not come near you. The Lord will deliver you. He will protect you." When you know whose you are, you can be able to answer them well. In Jesus' name. And so Jesus said to Pilate, "You have no power. Only what is given to you. You have no power." I'll take one more, then we take any questions. I'd like to take a very familiar story that you know very well. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 34. 1 Samuel, and the Bible says, "Now we are sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know this, that when we see him, we shall be as he is." Hallelujah. A child of God. Child of God. Knowing that you are a child of God. The Bible says, "Greater is Christ in you than the demon outside." Hey, who is that person? Somebody will tell you, you will see. And you come back, "I don't know what to do. This person told me I will see. And ever since he told me that, nothing had been going." Nothing. 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 Who are you? I belong to Chineke Nkigwe. I am the son or the daughter of the Heavenly Father. And he told me that I am precious in his sight, that I'm the apple of his eyes, and that what concerns me concerns him, and that he has graven my name on the palms of his hands. God asked me, can a mother forsake her sucking child? Even bees may forget, but I, the Lord, will never forget you. Hallelujah. This is the God, if you know you belong to him, then some of your attitude to life will change. Let's look at that Daniel chapter 3 again, verse 16 and 17. Okay, let's take the first Samuel. First Samuel 17, we shall get to Daniel 2. First Samuel 17, 34.
Verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, and struck and killed it. Verse 36. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.
David knew whose he was. He was not afraid of Goliath. Because the Lord would deliver him from Odu, bush rabbit, bush rat. Who would deliver him from any big one. He's the same God. The God who deliver you from 500 naira problem will deliver you from 5,000 naira problem. The Lord who saw you through 500,000 naira problem will saw you through 1.5 million naira problem. The Lord who saw you through 1-bedroom apartment will see you through 3-bedroom apartment. The Lord who saw you when there was no light in your house and your father brought light will see you through when the Nepa bills will come. Can somebody say amen to that? He has not changed. He's the same God. You can afford to trust him. David told them, don't worry about this one, it's finished. I have a God and I know the Lord I belong to. He shall be well with me. Let me take the last one, then we'll pause for questions. It is in that Daniel passage. Remember, greater is Jesus in us than the demons out there. And no matter what, we belong, we are the people of God. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit with a promise that anybody that destroys this temple, God will destroy the person. I'd like us to look at what it says in that passage. Are you in Daniel now? Daniel 3, 16 and forward. Time will fail you to read out for you what was written in Numbers. When Balaam said, I foresee no evil in Israel. These are people of God. And I cannot curse those whom God has blessed. God is not man. He cannot change his words. Hallelujah. Read on, please. Daniel chapter 3.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king.
And what was it they were answering the king? What was the question they were answering? No, I assumed you know the story so well. That's why I didn't go into the background detail of it. What was the question? What were they being asked to do? To bow down before an image. Right? And they were given an ultimatum. Which was that?
Of it.
If you don't bow, you'll be cast into the fiery furnace. Right? And they said what they said. Now let's get the answer again. Yes?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Verse 17. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if
not, wait. Hallelujah. If I had a body, you should not say amen. Hallelujah. When you know the Lord who you are, they say, we know we can't answer your rantings on this matter. King, let me tell you this. We are not competent to deal with you on this matter. You know you are a king. We respect you. We can't give you answer. If the Lord whom we serve wants to, he can. But if he doesn't, listen to our own plea.
But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times, more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their outer garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 23. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." Verse 25. "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire."
Please wait. How many people were thrown into the fire? Now Nebuchadnezzar is being permitted now, even though he's an unbeliever, to see a vision. Who was he seeing inside that furnace? How many people? Let's see his description of the fourth person.
"Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar looked in and saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were singing, "What manner of man is Jesus? Hallelujah." Oh, they were singing. They were doing what these children were doing. Let's be putting our hands like this. "What manner of man is Jesus?
Hallelujah."
Ho, 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 ho.
"What
hey.
Manner of man is Jesus?
Hallelujah." Hey, they were singing. And you know what? They noticed that they were all paired up and singing together. Nebuchadnezzar was shocked. Abba. I threw in 3 people and seeing 4. And then nothing was happening to them. And the appearance of the other one was like the Son of a God. It was an unbeliever when come. He didn't know that the Lord said, "I will be with you. Even when you walk through the fire, they shall not consume you. But when you walk through the floods, they shall not overwhelm you. I am the Lord. I will be with you." When you know whose you are, you can face this world like the lion that you are. Hallelujah. Read on, brother.
Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here."
He now called them what? How did they get that title? By compromise? No, by standing, knowing who they were. Hallelujah. We are going to sing and pray right now. You know what you are. Whatever is your prayer request, that is your answer. Right now we are going to pray and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. So as they worship, as they pray, as they open up themselves, they know who they were. And they knew that they belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Nothing could stop them. The Lord whose I am and whom I serve. He told me, Paul, that you see, you will get to Rome. You will stand before Caesar. Don't worry about the storm. Don't worry about the ship. Don't worry about anything. And by the way, I've given you bonus. All those traveling with you, they will be safe. You will be there. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then next, the man of Galilee, Jesus. David stood before the lawyers because he knows who's. I say to you this day, you know whose you are. You are a daughter of Zion, the Son of the Living God. I say to you today, open up your lips in prayer. And if you are not sure that you are a child of God, you are not sure whom you belong to, then as we are praying, we lift the dynamite of God in prayer to our lips, then you can come forward here and say, "I want to be sure I belong to God. I want to be sure I'm a Christian. I want to be sure that that God who was with Shadrach will be with me. I want to be sure that the God who was with Paul will be with me. I want the confidence that Jesus had before Pilate. I need that. The kind that David had." Now begin to open up your lips and speak to God concerning your joys, concerning the challenges, concerning His blessings, concerning His promises, concerning what He has told you. He is the Lord. Right now, we are not afraid. We know who we are. We know who we are. We understand it. Upon your God, we belong to you. We know we are yours, O God. Your purpose with your precious blood on Calvary. He said, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. My Lord in heaven, you have promised with your blood that you will be with us even unto the close of the age. I ask, O God, that the prayer that has been made today to you, you will answer us speedily. Father, you will hear us, for you are a faithful God. You will remove, O God, the barriers of Lucifer. You will tear down, O God, the weapons of the enemy. You will show us your favor. You shall bring lifting up unto your people. Your praise shall be upon our lips. We shall exalt you, O God. You are our God, and there is none else. We know it, O God, that neither from the east nor from the west, promotion does not come from the north or south. It comes only from you, O God. It is in your hand to make rich. It is in your hand to give life. Father, give healing unto your people. Restoration unto your people. Confidence and strength to the inner man. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join us again same time next week on Living Springtime. We invite you to worship with us at the Praise Temple of Amazing Love Assembly, Transekulu, Enugu, on Sunday by 8:30 a.m., Monday prayer power by 5 p.m., Wednesday Holy Convocation by 12 noon, Wednesday Bible study by 5 p.m., and Friday night vigil by 12 midnight. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.